program.
This is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. I'll read in English, and then Kazuo-san will read in Japanese. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love.
ガラテヤ人の手紙5章1節から6節を読みます。キリストは自由を得させるために私たちを解放してくださいました。ですからあなた方はしっかり立って、またと奴隷の首輝きを負わせられないようにしなさい。よく聞いてください。このパウロがあなた方に言います。もしあなた方が割礼を受けるなら、キリストはあなた方にとって何の益もないのです。割礼を受けるすべての人に私は再び証しします。その人は律法の全体を行う義務があります。律法によって義と認められようとしているあなた方はキリストから離れ、恵みから落ちてしまったのです。私たちは信仰により御霊によって義をいただく望みを熱心に抱いているのです。キリストイエスにあっては割礼を受ける受けないは大事なことではなく、愛によって働く信仰だけが大事なのです。
Good morning. How are you doing? Good, good. Before we start, I'd just like to recognize some people from our conference visiting. They are both pastors as well as conference workers, but we have Pastor Rod Yee. He pastors at San Lorenzo Japanese Christian Church, and Pastor Rick. He's also a pastor at West Covina Christian Church. Thanks for visiting us. We actually have another pastor in the house, Pastor Tom. He just got back from England, I believe, right? Yeah, so there's a bunch of people here that could preach better than me here today. So if you want to come up and preach, you are welcome to do so. But with that, let's open up with a word of prayer for this time of hearing the word. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, Lord, your faithfulness to us, the wonderful weather, Lord, you bless us with here at Tucson. We thank you so much for your generosity. Lord, you continue to abundantly provide for each and every one of us. So much so, Lord, that we just have such a, just a high threshold when it comes to luxurious living. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We ask, Father, that as we come together here to worship you, that, Lord, each and every one of us would encounter you, Jesus, in some way. Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, to our hearts. That you would, Lord, in some way, unveil more of yourself to us and transform us, Lord. Renew our minds. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So we've been going through the book of Galatians. And if you've been with us, we've been going through it for a while. And we're almost done. We're in chapter 5 now. There's one more chapter. And here we're getting into the freedom we have in Christ. This section, Paul is stressing the freedom in Christ through Christ. Verse 1 starts off with, "It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Freedom suggests that prior to coming to Christ, we were living in some kind of slavery. Now, as I look into the congregation, I don't think any of us have actually felt or been in literally, physically, in slavery. I think it's safe to say that. But all of us, in one way or another, are constrained. Are a slave to something in some way, in some regards. I believe that's what this passage suggests. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Now, there was something that was restraining us. But when I say freedom, just curious, what comes to your mind? When you think of freedom, what comes to your mind? I know I should have a lot of good analogies, but I don't want to do all the work. So, what comes to mind when you think of freedom or being enslaved?
America.
America, okay, land of the free, good. Anything else? You guys probably know by now I like basketball. There's a basketball player named Steph Curry. He plays for the Golden State Warriors. They play in Oakland, California. And he's on a record-breaking pace, and their team is on a record-breaking pace. And players around the league are saying, "We've never seen anyone play so freely." Just the lack of just constraint. Another analogy of freedom may be, a musician. I play a little bit of guitar, but because I'm not that good at playing the guitar, there's only so many things I could play. But someone who is free on the guitar, they could probably go from jazz, classical, to contemporary, pop. They could just go from one genre to another. Imagine the piano. I am free to play the piano, but I can't play a lick of the piano because I have not been set free, if you will, musically. And so here, Paul is talking about a freedom being set free spiritually. Christ has set our inner person from the bondage of sin so that spiritually we have been set free. Amen. That's good news, right? Come on, we got some conference representatives here. And so we need the amens to be a little louder today, okay? Just a little bit louder. A little bit more. And so chapter 5 starts off with this idea of freedom and the thought that if we allow false teachers and false teachings into our lives, we are going to be bound again to a yoke of slavery. You don't have to raise your hand, but I have to ask, how many of you have experienced that freedom in Christ? The freedom of sin. If you've never experienced it, it's hard to kind of explain. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Some of us have experienced it and have gone back into slavery, and we know how that feels too. And that's, the Christian life is walking and trying to walk in that freedom that's available to us in Christ, through Christ. And there's going to be a lot of teachings, a lot of well-meaning people. A lot of just stumbling blocks in our way. to enslave us if we're not careful. Stand firm. Galatians tells us to stand firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And when I think of yoke, you know, I think of that famous passage in Matthew 11:28, where it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. That's a good verse right there. It's a good place to say amen. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so as you walk with Christ, it's not going to be easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but there's an inner freedom that you should be experiencing. And if you're not, you know, it's something to come to the Lord and talk to Him about. It goes on to say, Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. If you've been with us, you know the context of this, but a short summation of the context is the church at that time was really struggling to find their identity, and as they were finding their identity, they were well-meaning, but in this case, in the Galatians case, people who were intentionally coming in to distort the gospel that was saying, it's okay to believe in Jesus. However, the Old Testament says to be a part of the covenant of God, you needed to be circumcised. And there was a long history of circumcision, good history of circumcision. People actually died because of circumcision, persecuted because of circumcision. And so this was an important part of the Jewish culture, and there were teachers within the Jewish culture that were suggesting it's okay to believe in Jesus. However, the Old Testament teaches that in order to be covenant relationship with God, you need to be circumcised. And I'm sure there are a lot of verses they could point to that would give their point of view a lot of weight. However, Paul is saying, no, this is a new covenant. As Christians, we are no longer under the old covenant of circumcision. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are now under a new covenant. And it's a new covenant where we are justified before God because of what Jesus did. We looked at the word justification a couple weeks back, but it's a legal term. It meaning that in a court of law, there's you, there's a judge, and there's an accuser. Being justified doesn't necessarily mean your sins are forgiven. That's another thing. Being justified means you are in the right. God is saying, because of what Jesus did, when you come before the Lord, when you come before the judge, that when Jesus sees your life, He will say, you are justified. Amen. You are in the right, therefore you are righteous. Here the false teachers and the false teachings were saying, you know, it's okay to receive Jesus, but unless you circumcise yourself, you're not really righteous quite yet. And Paul is saying, take your stand. That is not true. And so he says, Behold, I, Paul, say to you, if you receive this circumcision and try to achieve righteousness because of circumcision, you are going to be condemned. You are under obligation to keep the entire law. if that's how you're going to try to receive righteousness. Now, if it's okay to go on a little bunny trail, that phrase, behold, I, Paul, is an interesting phrase. People take it in different ways. One way people take it is an apostolic, just an apostolic statement. Paul is using his apostolic authority to make this statement, and I believe that's true. Although he does, I mean, I would, but I, I'm going to give you my, just, my own personal thoughts, if that's okay. And I guess with conference representative here, I'm going to tone it down a little bit. I personally think that if it was simply just apostolic, he would have said, I, Paul, using my an apostle, say this. But I also think Paul is saying this because there are actually times when it's okay to be circumcised. He's saying, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, you are obligated to keep the whole law, etc., etc., etc. However, in our walk with Christ, Jesus tells us to be circumcised. It's important that you circumcise yourself. It won't be because of righteousness or justification, but there are times when Jesus might tell you to circumcise yourself. And actually, Paul circumcised a couple of his disciples, interestingly enough, to be a better witness to some people. Now, he wasn't doing that to be justified, but he did actually circumcise, have some of his disciples. I believe it was Titus was circumcised. I don't see any shaking of heads, so okay. So here Paul is making not a new law or a new commandment, but in this context, it was to combat false teaching and a false understanding of circumcision. It goes on to say circumcision, uncircumcision, it doesn't mean anything. That's not the point. But here, I believe, you know, you could replace circumcision with a whole list of other things people try to justify themselves with. You fill in the blank. Jesus plus something else equals righteousness. It happens still today. And as we come to the end of the age, it'll happen even more with increasing intensity. It is called an antichrist spirit. Antichrist not meaning them saying you don't need Christ or you don't need God, but I'm suggesting an antichrist spirit saying in replacement of Christ, in replacement of what Jesus did, and here with in addition to what Jesus did, that spirit will continue to increase. And for us, in order to stay in the freedom of Christ that's available in Christ, we need to be careful. We need to know what the Lord is saying. We need to know what the Lord has said. We need to know both it is written and what He's saying to us today. Those are two important, they're two distinctions, but they're both necessary for us in order for us to avoid being deceived and being placed under a yoke of slavery. And this isn't something that's cute. It's severe. Paul could have allowed for circumcision, and he would have been probably a lot more popular within the churches at the time. If Paul allowed for circumcision, he would have faced a lot less persecution in his lifetime. But that's why it's important to stand firm. You know, you could go with the winds of society and the current of this age and be swept away. But the Bible tells us to stand firm. Know the truth. Stand firm on it. Be faithful to Jesus. Here it goes on to say, you have been severed from Christ. That's probably the most severe thing that could happen to any of us, to be severed from Christ. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law. And most of us, perhaps, we're not trying to be justified by the law. But it's just the same if there's anything else you're trying to justify yourself with. Yes. That's... Take a break for our sponsors. This is brought to you by... it's important that we learn and we recognize and we align ourselves with there's nothing that will save us apart from having an authentic relationship with Jesus. There's a lot of well-meaning people that sits in the pews of churches that may not have an authentic relationship with Jesus. And you're missing the point. You're missing the point if you don't have that. That's what we come here for. Is to encounter Jesus, to know Him, worship Him, to grow in Him. Do you know Jesus? Do you talk to Him? And does He talk to you? Do you encounter Jesus? There's a difference between knowing about Him and knowing Him. You know, it's like the difference of me saying, I know Barack Obama. I've seen him where he grew up. I've seen his house, the house he grew up in. I ate his favorite shaved ice. It's the rainbow shaved ice, I think. You know, imagine if I said, I talk to Obama every day. I call him and leave messages. What if, and you know, well, what does he say? Well, no, he never answers the phone, I just leave messages. You might say, well, maybe Obama doesn't know you. You know, we could spend hours and hours giving messages to God, spend thousands of dollars knowing about God, books and books and books, spend thousands of hours on the internet listening to messages about God. But do you know Him? And does He know you? Have you experienced the freedom in Christ that is available to you? Has He set you free, that you are free indeed, and that you know what that means? That is available for each and every one of us because of what He did. The veil has been torn. There is a gateway, an entryway to know Him personally. Those of us who has been in that relationship know the connectedness we have in Christ and the freedom in that. Don't be severed by false teachings, false teachers. There's a connectedness we have in Christ. Now, when I say connectedness, you know, it's a It's different, I guess, between generational connectedness. These days, kids connect through social media, right? Right, Gina? Yeah, Twitter. They tweet stuff. Even that's old. Even, I don't know what they do now. They like Snapchat or something. See, I just lost 90% of you. Snapchat, what? Snap what? You know, Facebook. People connect differently. You know, connecting also, people connect differently if you're different genders, right? Male and female connect differently. Sometimes, I gotta be honest, I think I'm very connected with my wife, and my wife will say, I feel so far apart from you, and I'm like, what? Oh, see, I'm not the only one. Good.
Amen.
Yeah. That wasn't a good place to say amen. Okay. I'll take it anyways. But, it's connectedness is important. And just like connectedness is different from different people, different genders, different generations, you know, the way we connect with God may be different for each and every one of us. But it's important that you are connected with Him. And it's important that you grow in that connectedness with Him. You know, me and some of you, we're connected in one way or another. But it would be weird if my relationship with my wife were the same as my relationship with you. It would be pretty weird. Either I'm too connected to you or I'm not connected enough to my wife, right? So it is with the Lord. Some of us, we're okay with just touching the Lord once in a while. We're okay with liking what He does. Press like. Good job, Lord. Great miracle, like. That's a different kind of connectedness than what is available. We should be the most connected with the Lord than anything in this world. If not, you're in danger of being severed from Christ. The freedom that we have in Christ, just like the freedom we might have in playing music, playing basketball, I believe has something to do with how connected we are, how intentional we are in being connected with the Lord. You don't just become an amazing musician just by touching the piano once in a while. You don't experience freedom as a musician by just touching your instruments once every week. The connectedness and the freedom we have in Christ, I believe, is contingent on how connected we want to be with Him. You draw close to Him, He'll draw closer to you. So I do encourage each and every one of you, draw closer to the Lord. There's more that's available. There's more than what you are experiencing now. There's more freedom available. It will culminate at the end of the age, in the resurrection. But even now, you have the option and opportunity to connect with Him and experience the freedom that He has set us free. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy. Father, forgive us if we have tried to achieve righteousness through our own efforts. Lord, if we try to justify ourselves with our own good works. Forgive us if we put in a little leaven in our lives. Whatever it is, Lord, if there's something there that needs to be revealed, would You reveal it to us? Holy Spirit, I ask even now that You would speak to us, each and every one of us. Lord, would you speak to our spirit, to our hearts? If there's anything, Lord, that has yoked us into slavery, Lord, if there's anything that has put us one step closer to being severed from you, God, I pray that you will reveal that to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would convict our hearts, that we would step and draw closer to you, Lord. We thank you so much for your grace. Lord, may us never fall from grace, your wonderful grace. In Jesus' name, amen.